Hey, everybody. It's another episode of Magical Boys, the first episode of 2018. It's your co-host, Narsty Boy, Ruben Medina. And I'm joined by my usual co-host and delightful galactic pretty boy, DJ Kirkland.
That's me, but I'm also a heaping pile of trash in 2018. Nothing else has changed.
It's like if you just put like Ugu eyes and some like blush stripes on a dumpster that's on fire, that's both of us.
Yeah, yeah, that's definitely us for sure.
Just put some like Moe eyes and some blush marks on top of a literal dumpster fire.
Oh my god, it's so true. It's us. Yeah, yes. Happy New Year. It's 2018. New Year, same old bullshit.
Yep, time isn't, like, it's a weird human construct that doesn't mean anything.
Time means like, things, I guess. I don't know, man. It's whatever, the calendar is reset. It is January. When this episode goes up, it'll be January 10th. And what's also happening on January 10th is a certain boy. Certain boy has a birthday.
Me.
It's a birthday boy?
I'm going to be old, DJ.
It's birthday boy's episode. When this actually airs, it'll actually be your birthday.
And if I'm going to be old, that means you're going to be old because we're the same age.
I know. So, like, we're what's funny is that we're born less than a month apart.
Really? Mm-hmm. What's your birthday, DJ?
February 5th.
I feel like I should know this. What was that?
February 5th.
It is 5 days before my girlfriend's birthday.
Is she
all this good?
Yeah, see? Look at all this. It's so good.
But, like, for her, like, quite a few, like, a couple years after ours.
Because
mm-hmm. she's younger, obviously. Mm-hmm. All these good early year birthdays.
All these early birthday boys.
Yeah, fucking get with it, everyone else. Change your birthdays to early in the year. Your summer birthday sucks.
It's all about that. I don't know what the zodiac sign is for that part of January.
It depends if you want to go by like the if you want to go by like the Western calendar years, mm-hmm. then I think we're tigers from 86.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go by actual Chinese calendar, I think, because it's not the same,
mm-hmm.
I think we're ox.
Either one of those things are fine with me.
Yeah.
Either one of these can be our furry personas. That's totally fine.
It's not, it's not a raccoon with a boner, so it's not my furry persona. That's canonical. Where is my fan art? Why has no one drawn me as a raccoon with a boner? Our fans are the worst.
I could probably make that happen.
And I want a good, like, anatomical, I want to look like some fucky furry art.
You know what?
Slide down, like, that slippery slope, somebody.
Listen, I follow a lot of furry artists on Twitter because they can draw circles around 90% of the people that I know that are artists. It is insane. I'm like, look at all that anatomy. Look at that shading. Mm-hmm. Look at that mm-hmm. color theory. And look at that giant throbbing penis.
That huge knotted dog dick.
Oh my god, it's insane. It's insane.
But it's true. Furries are like, they're furry artists are fantastic. Also, they're huge patrons of the art. They will pay proper for commissions. Yeah, and so many people are like, can you draw like me and my whole family for like $20? And you're like, no, that's ridiculous. You're like, well, it'll just take you like half an hour. Come on. And it's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
But like you log on to Fur Affinity and you see like people getting paid like actual salaries.
Yes.
For furry art.
They'll be like, I want this commission of this furry, this full color. Here's like $500. And I'm like, what the fuck?
And it's like beautifully drawn, well composed, excellent anatomy. It's
Make that furry money.
Make that money.
Y'all, anyways, 2018, y'all.
Be horny on Maine.
Stop being shitty to furries and be horny on Maine.
I mean, we don't know how much time we have left, but you might as well just go all out. What else do we have to lose at this point?
Look, if you haven't embraced your fursona yet, you might as well do it before, like, you'd have to embrace, like, a weird nuclear mutant fursona.
So hear me out here.
Everybody.
Persona 5, but fursona 5.
Yes. Isn't that called Sly Cooper? Is that what
it is? And Jack and Daxter.
Oh my god.
Because of Daxter. Oh,
you know, man. Fucking Sly with that little, his he has the the mask. He's just like Joker. Oh, also, he is the closest thing I'm going to get to a raccoon with a boner. Because he is a raccoon. That Thievius raccoonus.
Okay.
There's gotta be art of Sly Cooper with a boner online.
You know what? I'm gonna Google
that's,
it.
That's the new me. Hey, new year, new me.
Sly Cooper.
Boner. Google.com.
Safe search is off. I don't want actual, like, art of Sly Cooper that's from the games. I want fur affinity links to Sly Cooper art with Sly Cooper with a massive boner. This is really disappointing.
Yeah, I got nothing. I don't have Safe Search on. What the fuck?
Yeah, Safe Search of what is happening?
Yeah, Safe Search hasn't been on my computer in, like, I don't know, 10 years.
This... You know what? I'm mad. Okay.
Yeah, I am mad because I don't see any of this.
Okay, so this is a podcast about video games, which tangentially, Sly Cooper is a video game, but he's also an anthropomorphic.
A fucky raccoon.
Yeah, he's a fucky raccoon with a map. Yeah, so it's great. So it's a new year. New us? No?
Same us?
Yeah.
Same us.
Okay.
Just closer to death us.
Yeah. Closer to death.
But, hey, y'all, we're all dying, so I might as well go out in like a blaze of glory.
Do you have any New Year's resolutions? Do you do that? Is that a thing that you do?
Well, no, because, like I said, like time is a weird, like, I don't know. To me, it's just like, it's the same thing. If you're going to do the thing, just do the damn thing. Mm-hmm. And if a New Year is what you need to, like, propel yourself in that direction, that is fine. Mm-hmm. That's never been a thing for me. Mm-hmm. As you sip your rosé. I'm watching DJ right now. Just white wine. Just
It's so good.
It's so good. I was just drinking red wine. Mm. We like wine. Some wine and lasagna.
I do like both of those things.
I know. I'm like drunk Garfield anyway.
It all circles back to being a furry. It all circles back.
Ugh, Mondays, right? That's why I was getting lasagna and drunk on a Tuesday. Anyway, So, no, I don't really do them, though I am always, like, I am, like, one of those, like, really basic bitches about, like, I'm gonna lose, like, 20 pounds. I'm gonna, like, really
from where?
From my stomach, where all my fat is. DJ.
Ruben.
DJ.
Ruben.
I'm not, like, a big boy, but I'm not the boy I wish I was.
You're the boy that I wish you were.
That's very sweet of you, and I love you for loving my trash body. But... and I love that my girlfriend loves my trash body, mm-hmm. and she's very supportive. Mm-hmm. But I want to be a thirst trap, damn it. And I'm just not quite there.
I mean, do you follow Kawaii Bros on...
Yes.
Yeah.
I want to be a Kawaii Bro thirst trap.
Oof. That,
and I know, like, I might be someone else's thirst trap, and that is good, and that makes me happy. I want to be my own thirst trap, though. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, I do. I do. I have always aspired to have an Instagram thirst trap body. I don't know if that'll ever happen because chicken nuggets are really good, and
they are so good.
I really, really like food. So I don't know if that'll ever be a reality in this plane of existence, but that one.
No, when I was on vacation in D.C., I kept seeing that Taco Bell stacker commercial for $1, and I was like, sorry, Thirst Trap 2018. You just turned into a stacker 2018.
Yes! Come through, Gordita Crunch, yes!
Yeah, that's always, like, a goal, because I just want to, like, be leaving for work and then see myself in the mirror and just be like, work, I can't come in because I'm jerking off to myself for the rest of the day. Like, I want to be my own thirst trap.
It's like, sorry, job, I'm just too horny over myself. Gotta go.
I'm horny on main being myself. So. Literally, man. DJ, what about you? Do you have New Year's resolutions? Do you do that?
I kind of, like... set goals of things that I would like to accomplish for the year, but I don't necessarily, like, like, even I posted that, I'm like, oh, these are my New Year's resolutions. But, like, I typically always say, like, oh, at the beginning of the year, I would like to accomplish this by the end of the year. So what I said was, were some kind of, like, not tangible things that you can, like, aspire to. So, like, one of them being, like, not being so hard on myself, because I am, like, my own worst fucking enemy. And it's, I mean, that's true for a lot of people. I'm not the only one that's like that. But I'll be, like, drawing something. And I know it's not healthy to do this, but I'll see some art on Twitter. And I'm like, oh, wow, this is really good. And then I'll, like, click on the bio of whoever it is. And I'm like, oh, they're, like, 19 years old. I'm gonna die.
Yeah. I feel like every artist I know does that, where it's just like, oh, wow, this is amazing. Oh, you're 22 and you work at Blizzard? Like, yeah, whatever, like, it is, like, as an artist.
I'm like, oh, you're working on Overwatch. Or you're, like, a character, lead character designer at something at Cartoon Network, and I'm not any of those things, and I'm old. So
here's the thing.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. 2018, be harder, be less hard on yourself. That's, like...
Wow.
That's the mantra.
That is profound.
Be hard more, be hard less on yourself.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Be horny, get shit done, feel good about it.
Yes! Those are things I'm gonna... You know, so you know those, like, fucking...
Where's things? Oprah?
Where, I'm gonna be her speechwriter. First of all, where's Oprah? Secondly, you know Oprah. Those, like, live, laugh, love, like,
yes.
things that people have? But those three things.
Yes.
On that.
Chicken soup for the butthole. That is my book.
Oh my god. But other than that, I want to actually put together a pitch for my own like story that I write and then I also illustrate. I would like to do that and pitch that to Oni or whoever else. I feel like it's easy for me to just to pitch things to Oni since I now have a relationship with them, and I want to do more like queer focused content, so they have an imprint for that. So I'm just gonna like pitch, like actually like really finish a pitch for something and commit to that and do that and pitch something to them by the end of the year. And yeah, I really do want to get back to the gym because I was really good for like the majority of last year.
You were hitting it hard. You had a personal trainer. Like, yeah. You were on it.
That shit is expensive. However.
Yes, personal trainers are very expensive.
But oh my God, my personal trainer was really hot and he was like 22. And he was like, my first video game console was an Xbox. And I'm like, I almost dropped the barbell on my whole fucking chest and killed myself when he told me that.
He was like, that's why I'm in such good shape.
But he was so hot.
It's good motivation.
God, he's so hot. And he had like the fattest ass. It was great. it was just wonderful. I'm like, this is great. It's too bad that you're straight, but at least you're sweet. At least you're a sweet boy. That's
good. Yeah.
He's
a good sweet boy.
But other than that, yeah, just getting back into the gym, because I really do like lifting weights. I fucking hate running. I don't do that. So I know cardio is the thing that I need to do the most so I can actually like drop weight, but
that's not true necessarily, right? Yeah. Lifting weight supposedly is a longer, slower burn, so it actually supposedly is better for you than cardio as far as weight loss is concerned. But I always feel like I read a different thing every fucking month about health stuff. So, but I believe that is the prevailing thought.
I just want to
is actually better.
Yeah, I just want to get hard, get big, and like lift heavy things, and you know, do that.
I'm just gonna do squats all day and get that ass.
Yeah, I mean, my ass doesn't need to get any bigger than it already is.
Get huge. Get a huge booty.
Oh, God, it's already so big. I mean,
huge air.
It's not a complaint. It's more or less an observation of a fact. But, yeah, it's a mess.
2018, bigger booty year.
But that's kind of about it. Just being, you know, nicer to myself and both, like, mentally and physically. But, yeah.
Yeah, no, those are good. I think we could all, I think, kind of give ourselves more of a break while maintaining. And I think especially for people that are creative and that are artists like we are in our own ways, there's a constant, like, I could be doing this thing with your free time. And so when you have hobbies like we do that take a lot of time, like playing video games and watching anime, I think it's easy to get caught in these self-hate spirals of... I need to do this to take care of myself, but then I feel guilty for taking care of myself and relaxing because I'm not working and I could be working, and it's this fucking spiral that's just a mess.
Yeah, that's like the hardest thing for me. It's like I will be like sitting down and I like turn on the PlayStation and I play two matches of Overwatch and I'm like, I'm wasting so much time, but it's like, no, I need to rest and like do something that's not work related for a little bit. And yeah, so finding that balance is tough, but I'm going to try better this year to kind of be, just be easier on myself when it comes to that stuff, but also, you know, try to get as much work done as possible, but also take care of myself so that I can do the work that I want to do.
Yeah, I'm seriously like, and honestly, this is the thing I need to be better about this year that I was really bad about last year. Like, eat healthy, don't eat trash constantly, and just get some sleep.
Yeah.
Like if you're, whatever you do, like, working yourself to death does not produce anything good.
Right.
Like, take care of yourself and get sleep and try to put, like, decent food in your body. You can do it for cheap. It's not hard if you go to the grocery store. Like, that's so important, and I think our generation forgets it all the time.
Yeah.
Because we feel incredibly guilty, and like we have to work 24/7.
Yeah.
So I said I didn't really have any resolutions, but I guess, like, I have a sort of work resolution, which is this year is the year where I buckle down really hard so that I can become an actual hacker. just because I know, like, teenage me would have been really, like, psyched if adult, like, he knew adult me was going to be a hacker.
Mm-hmm.
And that is sort of, like, what my job is. It's just...
You're just Futaba in your life.
I mean, that's sort of what this year is going to be. I've sort of gotten myself to a good foundational place.
Yeah.
And this year is the year to become Futaba. So, 2018, be Futaba.
Yes.
And I'm Futaba in so many ways already.
You really are.
Which is probably why I wifed her, because I'm very into myself. but I might as well... be Futaba in the way that can make me money.
Yeah.
Let's be real. and then at least get like one artistic like accomplishment done this year, whether that's with my performance stuff and improv or creating a show that'll be on stage. That's like a scripted show.
Mm-hmm.
Or, I have a pitch that I've been like playing with for pitching to Oni for a long time.
Yeah.
And you know, I know that if I just take a couple weekends to fucking nail it out, I can have a good pitch to give.
We can talk about that off the show about what you need to do for that pitch. I can talk to you about
it's
that.
A magical girl thing, so it'll be fun.
They will eat that up, so yes.
Yeah, I think they would dig it. It's also very gay. Anyway, DJ, what you been playing? What you playing,
when
DJ?
When I have the time to play them video games.
When you pick
games?
Up them sticks, what you playing with
yeah.
them sticks?
Yeah, I'm still playing it? Through Xenoblade. The holidays were a whirlwind of, like, working a lot and family stuff and everything. So when I got to sit down to play games, I'm, like, trying to get through Xenoblade. Brandon just beat it yesterday, and I'm like, oh, God, I need more time to finish it myself. And then I had some of my really good friends from college came into town. One of them lives here. Shout out to Latif. Mm-hmm. I love him. He's a homie. He was hosting another one of our mutual friends from college, Spencer, and his girlfriend were here. So it was like me, my friend Latif, my friend Spencer, his girlfriend, Latif's boyfriend Melvin, and then our other friend Jeff, and then it was myself and Brandon, and we all got together a couple days after Christmas, and they came to our place, and we just like they stayed the night and everything. We like played video games and watched movies all night. And what one of the games that we were playing was this really awesome fighting game that I like that has the dumbest and longest name on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
It is Undernight Inbirth EXE Late ST. And
never heard of this.
And Undernight Inbirth EXE Late ST is kind of like the Guilty Gear Revelator to the Guilty Gear Xrd of that game, because the original game was released in arcades and it was also on PS3, and it's a super fun fighting game. It's from the same people that make Melty Blood, and it's really, really fun. It's like a more refined Melty Blood, so like typically 2D anime fighters are like air dash fighters, so it's a lot of that, a lot of subsystems, a lot of just, like, words everywhere and, you know, things and anime and all that stuff. And they released an updated version of it for PS4, which has all the characters that they added to the arcade version of the game. And it's, like, super fun. We played it for hours.
Yeah, it looks great. I'm looking at a trailer right now. And it's Arc System Works, mm-hmm. also.
Yeah, it's another cool Arc Systems game. And, at least one of the characters from that game is going to be, I believe, is going to be in that Blaze Blue cross-tag battle game that's coming out, because it's all Arc System stuff. It's really cool. It's a really fun game. It's, I feel like it's one of the easier anime fighters to pick up. It's super, super, super fun. I really enjoy it a lot. I want to get it. It's supposed to be coming out in the U.S. either in February or March, but it's been out in Japan for a little bit. So I'm hoping that they release
February 9th for North America.
Oh, that's right after my birthday.
For, yeah. Was what I'm seeing online.
Yeah, so I'm going to pick that up because it's super fun. Yeah, I like that a lot.
Yeah, it looks good.
It's really good. It's really fun. The character designs are great. Combat's really fast and fluid. The music is out of control. There's a character that they added. Her name is Phonon, and she's got these headphones on, and she uses a whip. But, like, the whip is, like, a little dragon thing. What? And she is so cool. She, like, the her animations are really, really awesome. So, like, she'll use the whip, but every time she goes back to her, like, default standing animation, she, like, whoosh, like, pulls the whip tight and then, like, goes back into her, like, her little pose. And, like, it's everything that I love about really meticulous 2D anime fighters, because, like, there's so much love in those animations for those characters, and they're all unique and really different and really fun. And yeah, the soundtrack is out of control. I love it a lot.
That's one of my favorite things about, like, Alpha 3 is Alpha 3 is so, like, meticulously animated. Like, there's so many frames and it's so beautiful.
That's what
I like about a lot of those anime fighters, is that it's just, like, really, really beautiful. Like, even the idle animations are really pretty.
Those are the two things that I've been playing. And I'm trying to get through Xenoblade, because I need to beat that game before I jump back into Nier. I want to get back into it, so I'm trying to
finish it.
Yeah, I'm trying to get back to games that I started in 2017 but didn't get to finish, so that I can finish them. And then, because nothing really story-heavy is coming out that I want anytime soon.
You have Dragon Ball this month,
right.
And then I think Monster Hunter World's end of next month, and that's really it for a minute.
No, Monster Hunter's also this month.
Oh, is it this month?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I am totally wrong about that.
It's at the end of the month.
Well, then, yeah.
Yeah, so, I'm trying to get through that so that I can focus on some other games and get back to ones that I really want to finish. But that's all that I've been playing. What about you?
Oh, Dragon Ball Z Fighters and Fighters. Is it Fighter Z or Fighters?
It's Fighters.
Okay, Dragon Ball Fighters. Oh, so bad. And Monster Hunter are the same day. I did not realize that.
Well, fuck.
Yep. Goodbye, wallet.
Bye.
I'll probably
everything. I guess Magical Boys is ending in like 3 weeks.
I'll probably just pick up Dragon Ball Fighters. I'm not sold on Monster Hunter still quite yet. But Dragon Ball Fighters,
I'm ready. I'm so ready for that. It's gonna be so good.
I just got Yakuza 0 in the mail today, so I haven't cracked it open.
Yeah.
But what I'm gonna do is, I was playing Kiwami, and I'm probably like 3 or 4 hours into Kiwami, which Kiwami is a remake of the first Yakuza, and 0 is the most recent Yakuza game that is a prequel to the first Yakuza game. Kiwami is really good, but it is a PS2 game.
Oh yeah,
they've updated some things to make it play better.
Yes.
But it is a PS2 game.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as I'm enjoying it, I am finding certain aspects of it to feel
dated,
like, and not in the PS2 game way that I like, but like in that, oh wow, this is a PS2 game. In some ways, reminds me of Dreamcast stuff. So I've read that it can be preferable to play 0 first, because it is a prequel.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually makes some stuff in Kiwami interesting. Also, they change stuff in Kiwami to match up with 0 better.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'm going to hop over to 0 for that, like, better gameplay experience, and then go back to Kiwami. And I'm very excited, because I'm all about playing some, like, Yakuza Japanese horny boys.
Do it, because I'm not very far in 0, so we can play that together.
Yeah, we can talk about it. That'd be great. Yeah. So I'm gonna start playing that. Mm-hmm. I was in DC this weekend for MAGFest, which I'll get to in a second. Mm-hmm. So I brought my Switch, and what I ended up playing a lot, I was trying to figure out like what I wanted to play, like on the plane and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if anyone else has this problem. For me, I can play 3D games on the Switch just fine, but it's not preferable. Like, sometimes I feel like there's almost too much information that is being conveyed to me in a 3D space for a screen the size of the Switch. Mm-hmm. I can absolutely play it and it's not a problem, mm-hmm. but I definitely like prefer to play Mario Galaxy or Breath of the Wild on a big TV.
Oh yeah.
And especially with like a pro controller. Now, when it comes to games that are like indie titles, especially like very simple graphics or 2D games, that stuff feels really, really great to me playing it mobile. So I picked up Master Blaster DX, mm-hmm. which Master Blaster is like one of my favorite original Nintendo games. And it's a complete remake by, it's the same group that did like the new Mega Man stuff. Is it INIS? Blaster Master DX.
I'm not sure who did that off the top of my head.
I think it was them, but I could be wrong. It is, if you liked the old Blaster Master, if you played it, or if you've never played it but you want to play like a kind of anime ass 2D like kind of Metroidvania in a way game, it's really cool. They do a great job of keeping it incredibly faithful to the original game. Like, the music is on point. All of the areas are pretty much the exact same as they were in the Nintendo game. Mm-hmm. They've just updated the graphics. And they've added, like, Blaster Master was notorious for being incredibly difficult and being a sort of long game to not have any save points, really. So they added save points. They did quality of life stuff, like the second area in that game. It's sort of a maze, and it's really impossible to have any idea where the fuck to go unless you, like, read a Nintendo Power.
Right.
So... Right. They added a map kind of Metroid, Super Metroid style. Mm-hmm. And in areas like that, they kind of, they've added a signal that gets stronger when you're going to where you should go. So they just did some quality of life stuff, but it is so fun and so good. And if you like the old one, it's perfect. If you have never played the old one, mm-hmm. it's still just like a very fun game. And it was only like, it was cheap. It was like $8 on the Switch store. It's very, very cheap. Okay. And it's very fun.
Nice.
So I super suggest it. Getting back to MAGFest. So
yeah.
One of my favorite things about MAGFest, and there's MAGFest is the best. If you can table at MAGFest, DJ, I recommend it.
Yeah, I really wanted to go this year, but it just didn't line up for me like financially. Otherwise, I totally.
Well, and it's really close to ECCC, mm-hmm. Which is tough. And like it, and also for you, it's you're hopping coasts,
yeah.
which is always expensive.
Yeah.
That said, the demographic of it is great because it's, I would say, like, demographic is heavily 20, like early mid 20s to mid 30s. So it's a lot more of an adult demographic. People spend money because it is video game and music. You kind of have this cool crowd of people that are big nerds and into video games and anime, but also are a little bit more social and, like, mm-hmm. go to concerts and stuff because there are concerts throughout the entire weekend.
Right.
So you get people that are, in my experience, into games and into anime, but a little bit better adjusted than most,
mm-hmm.
and, like, a little bit more into aesthetic than most. So also the Artist Alley and the Dealer Room are the same room.
Which is, like, crazy.
Yeah, and they're all mixed in, like, not fully mixed in together, but, like, pretty mixed in together.
Mm-hmm.
So people don't just go to the Dealer Room and ignore the Artist Alley,
mm-hmm.
because it's all the same place.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is, like, 24 hours. So if you want to work Artist Alley 24 hours, you can. People don't do that, but, like, one day Aaron worked sort of, like, a normal, like, 10 to 5, and then we had dinner and got drunk, and then we went back down, and she worked like a 9 to 11 shift.
Yeah.
And she sold really well because people were still walking around through there.
That's awesome.
Just a really, really good con if you're an artist. It's also like a really fun con. I went on a little Twitter rant the other day because...
Yeah, I saw that.
And I'm getting... I think it's also a byproduct of me just getting older and not dealing with drunk people as well as I used to.
Yeah.
Because it's less often myself. But I guess the takeaway from what I was talking about on Twitter was I love MAGFest. I think they do a great job of trying to handle people being assholes and harassment and everything else. Like, they try to make it a very safe and comfortable space. That said, there are certain times, like by 8 or 9 p.m. on any given night, where you're probably going to have to be around people that are incredibly drunk and incredibly loud and incredibly annoying, or smashed into an elevator with those people. And that's the worst, because you can't get away from them. And what I noticed is it's almost never women. Like, girls will be drunk, and I will see a messy girl being annoying or loud. Sure, that absolutely happens. It is only the dudes who will be doing things so physically aggressive that they will hurt people by accident.
Yeah.
By just acting out and acting like idiots. Yeah. That will be, like, physically aggressive with you, like, in your space while they're drunk. And, like, very hands-on. And just, like, 90% of the interactions that are, like, incredibly uncomfortable or feel unsafe, it's always dudes. And I just had this realization of just, like, oh, it's like men are ruining this con. Like, men are ruining conventions. And it's not all men, obviously.
Yeah.
But when I think about every, like, crappy experience, and I'm not seeing most of it because I'm a guy.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole, like, different level and world of bad experiences that women are having because it's horny nerds that are shitheads that are gonna cause issues with for them. So I'm not seeing, like, most of it, but even what I'm seeing, I'm just like, oh, just shitty boys who aren't going to control themselves because they're in a party mode ruin these things.
It's the worst, or, like, the absolute worst.
And I just, it's one of those things where it's like, I don't think that's the thing that our listeners are probably terribly guilty of for the most part, but, like, I don't know, man, just men just need to get it the fuck together. And I'm not saying I've never been there, I've never been that person, because I absolutely have. But, like, you gotta grow up and get that shit together and not be that person and be considerate of those around you, even if you're drinking.
Yeah.
Like, be a good drunk.
Yes. It's, I mean, it's, like, typically, I can only speak for myself, but whenever I've gone out, and this is, like, whenever I'm, like, out in the city, and especially when I was living in San Francisco, and I would go out because I didn't have to drive, so I could just go out and drink and be drunk and whatever, it's fine. But when I'm like, oh, I'm drunk, my first instinct is to say, I need to go home, is what happens to me first. I'm like, oh, I need to leave, is what happens to me. And that's when I am like, I love you guys, I'm calling an Uber, and I'm, well, not Uber, but I'm calling a Lyft, and I'm going home. And that's typically what happens. But, yeah, I wish more people would, like, I mean, it's hard because, like, if you're all drunk, then, like, it's one thing. But then, like,
and
people should just try to not be terrible.
Try. I think a lot of people use being drunk as an excuse to act like an asshole and not be held accountable.
Right.
Because, like, oh, I was drunk, I didn't know what I was doing, or blah, blah, blah. I understand that to some degree. Mm-hmm. It does not absolve you of what you're doing. It just means you either, A, need to figure out how to be a considerate drunk, where, yeah, if you're really messed up, hang out and wild out with your friends that you knew.
Yeah.
Don't go up to strangers.
Yeah, handle
and
your shit.
Fucking try that to them. Handle your shit. Or, like you said, go home and chill the fuck out.
Yeah.
Like, one of those things. Or if you find that you've tried that and you just can't, maybe you shouldn't get drunk. If you can't be a considerate person while drinking, maybe you shouldn't drink.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, you don't have to put yourself in that state if you're going to be addicted to people.
Right. Yeah. It's a,
anyway.
Yeah. But
anyway,
we could talk about that forever, but,
I think it's something that, like, MAGFest is such a cool, nice, positive convention.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen it kind of, the more popular it's gotten, I've just seen it occurring more throughout the years because it's gotten more popular with more people and bigger demographics. Like, Dragon Con's always been that, but I kind of understand because Dragon Con is that. That is, like, it is nerdy girl. That's the purpose. Anyway, the thing I wanted to talk about MAGFest, which I think is a great con, if you have the ability, you should absolutely go to it. It's really good. Mm-hmm. What MAGFest has that's really cool is they have a big indie developer area. Mm-hmm. So you can go see and play games that are in all different stages that have just begun being made, that are like really, really early builds, that have been kickstarted and aren't quite done yet, but are getting there. Games that are pretty much done and they're about to be on, they're already on Steam Greenlight, or they're already on, like the PlayStation Store or whatever else. And there were two this year. I didn't get to see everything, but there were two this year that I thought were really cool. One of them was called Splittybot. Splittybot actually won the Best in Show award because they have an awards for all the indie games every year. And there's actually, like, it's hard for me to find information online about it. There is a Facebook page for it. Splittybot is, like, a puzzle platformer. You basically play as a little cube robot, and you can split vertically, and you can split horizontally. And when you split, like, your center basically doesn't interact with anything. So you like, split sideways to, like, fit around things, or split vertically to fit through things, and that's really all it is. It's just a cool little platformer that you have to figure out how to change your ability to kind of shape shift to get through. It's really, really well made. I think that game, I talked to the developer, that game I think is still really far away from being done, but it was really, really cute and really fun. The game that I played that really stuck with me is this game called Luca, which is L-U-C-A-H. It's made by just two dudes. They have a Kickstarter. They actually met their goal. I think this is last year they did it. Mm-hmm. So it's still in development, but there is a demo. If you go to me3.itch.io/Luca, they do have a demo for Mac and PC.
Yeah.
It kind of feels like Hyper Light Drifter. It's sort of that top-down hack and slash.
Mm-hmm.
The art style is really, really cool. It's all like very sketch looking. It's very, very dark and very sketch looking. Like the whole game has a kind of cool, like neon goth sort of feel to it.
Yes, I like that idea of a neon goth aesthetic. I like that.
It's really cool. Everything's very abstract looking. Like things have forms, but they're just like so kind of like rough and sketchy. Story-wise, it seems very kind of very sad, very kind of dark. Actually, it reminded me of Dark Souls in a way, that way. Mm-hmm. But it controls, they made it in Unity, and it controls incredibly tight.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like you'll be able to change, like, your fighting style by using different, I think they're called mantras in the game.
Mm-hmm.
You change your mantra, and it changes, like, what your attack combos do. It was just really cool. So the fact that you can download the demo and play it on Mac or PC, if you go to their site on itch.io, like, I fully suggest going and playing it. It has DualShock 4 support. I think it has Xbox controller support on PC. And it is a game that you would want to play with a controller.
Okay.
Check it out, because it's just really... I was talking to them. And it's definitely, I think, just aspirations for PC and Mac for now.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, this would be perfect on Switch. It's really, really cool. So those are the two things I played at MAGFest. And there was like a billion other games that were interesting looking. I just didn't get around to all of them, or they didn't quite impact me the same way. But those two were really, really cool.
Nice.
So definitely like check those out. Keep an eye on those things. And that's it about playing stuff I played.
Nice. Well, let's see what we got here. So... what I'm excited about for our first episode of 2018 is that we have a lot of questions from people.
Yes, we do.
So all I want to do in terms of news, quote unquote, is mention really quickly that Bayonetta and Bayonetta 2, when it comes out on Switch in February, it will have Amiibo support. So all those costumes that they put in the Wii U version of the game will be available by just a tap of an Amiibo, if you already have them. So I'm going to get that Princess Peach outfit the second I turn the fucking game on.
Peach, Daisy, Link, Samus, and Fox are all available, which is dope. I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that. It's very...
My queen. I can't wait. So let's talk about anime.
Yeah, let's talk about anime real quick. So I haven't watched a lot of the new season because I've been busy, mm-hmm. and also some things have not had their first episode yet. So next episode, I think, will be my big, this is what I've watched of the new season, this is what I recommend. Mm-hmm. What I can talk about is, I'm going to start A Place Further Than the Universe. I watched the first episode on Crunchyroll. Mm-hmm. It's about a group of girls that basically want to go to Antarctica. That's really all, like, the crux of the story.
Yeah.
One of the girls, I think, like, her mother is, like, wrote a book about Antarctica and is a, like a research scientist up there or explorer or something like that. Mm-hmm. And she disappeared. And so the girl's like, I want to go find her.
Yeah.
And so it's a bunch of these high school girls that band together to, like, make a journey there. It sounded like a really, like, stupid plot for a dumb moe thing. It's animated quite well, and it's really cute. Mm-hmm. Like, it's, I watched the first episode and it's far better than I had any right to be, so that's on my radar. I watched like the first 4 or 5 episodes of Devilman Crybaby, which is fucking lit.
Yeah, that's on my list of things to watch. I've been like jumping through so many different things, so I'm like, I need to watch Devilman. I'm really excited about Devilman.
It's really, really good. The caveat I'll give is, like, it's Go Nagai.
Yep.
Like, it's based off the old manga. Mm-hmm. Go Nagai is real gory and real horny. Always has mm-hmm. been. So it is, like, a very adult series. That said, it has a lot of heart. I think they're doing a really cool job of, like, it's definitely an adaptation. Like, it's not... Because the old manga looks like Astro Boy, basically.
Yeah.
Old Go Nagai stuff is really simple, which makes it even weirder because it looks like Astro Boy and then it has, like, titties and blood and shit everywhere.
Yeah.
The new series is a really cool adaptation that takes it sort of into the modern day, and it's really good. The art is kind of all over the place, and part of that is the director is Yuasa, which if you've watched Cat Soup or Tatami Galaxy... or Mind Game, or Kaiba, or even he directed one of the Space Dandy episodes. Yuasa's sort of whole look is defined by really fluid animation and characters are never, ever, ever on model.
Yeah.
Like, their proportions are everywhere.
Yeah.
That's sort of his look. The show... Oh, he also did Ping Pong, which Ping Pong looks amazing.
Yeah.
The character designs in the show are good. The art doesn't quite look like Yuasa, the way things move and that parts it does. So I guess the way that I would explain it, a lot of my friends who are not familiar with Yuasa have been like, I like Devilman, but it's really ugly. And I like want to stand for Yuasa because I stand for Legends. There is a thing that's throwing me off is it is done by a studio that Yuasa founded, and him and his like co-founder have talked about and use Flash frequently mm-hmm. for their animation. Mm-hmm. And I haven't confirmed, but I have a feeling that Devilman is primarily done in Flash, or at least heavily uses it.
Mm-hmm.
And at times it's really apparent and it does not look great. Some parts are animated beautifully and look great, and Yuasa's like fluid animation is great for body horror because stuff just morphs and melds and looks gross. But outside of that, I understand. I wish it looked a little bit better for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It's really fucking good though. So if you can handle the gore and the sex and stuff in it, I definitely recommend anyone to watch it.
I'm excited to watch it just so I can have an opinion on it. Yeah.
Opposite, as far as animation is concerned, I haven't watched the new Cardcaptor Sakura.
I haven't watched it yet either. I was like, is it out or is it not out? Is it out or is it not out? But it's
episode one is out.
Episode one is out. Yeah.
And I haven't watched it. I did watch the end theme though. And the animation for the end theme is out of control. Like, I'll have to link it to you later. I can't explain to you how ridiculous the animation for the end theme of the series is. And it's not like big action animation. It's like really small, good detail animation work.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I was watching it like all day yesterday because I was just like, this is fucking crazy.
I'm excited. I'm glad at least one 90s magical girl show is going to get a good treatment, unlike another one that I love so dearly. No. But, you know, I love Cardcaptor Sakura, so I'm excited to watch it. And I'm so glad that it's like 90% of the original team that worked on the original three seasons of the show that are back on it. So that's part of the reason why it looks as good as it does, because it's the same people that did the original. So
I think all the key animation for that end theme is done by one of the guys who originally worked on Cardcaptor Sakura.
So. Perfect.
Which old Cardcaptor looked
good. It's so good. It's a really good looking show. Like, I've been watching the original again to kind of like refresh my memory on everything, and that show consistently looks really good.
And that's it. I have to watch a bunch of shit, because there's a bunch of shit I'm really excited about, but I just haven't gotten around to it.
Mm-hmm. So while it's not technically an anime, it is a Japanese show, and it might as well be an anime, like a slice of life anime, because it is so delightful. Yes. I've heard a lot of people talking about this show called Terrace House, and I was like, what is Terrace House? What is that? And then I finally was like, you know what? Let's go ahead and see what this is all about. And Terrace House, for those of you that don't know, it's a Japanese it's a Japanese reality television show. So I would equate it to being the Japanese equivalent of The Real World. So it's really good. It's very different from an American reality television show, like especially a show about people living in a house that don't know each other. It's very nice. It's very sweet and wholesome, and I really like that, because as most of our listeners are primarily from the United States, and even those are our listeners that are from the UK, have probably seen American television reality shows and how they're very over the top, and they're very kind of like taking a box of cats and spraying them with water and then closing the lid of the box and then shaking the box up and just watching what happens. It's kind of like what a lot of American reality shows where people are forced to live together are like. With this, it's like, it's a very nice, beautiful, pristine house in Tokyo. It's beautiful and everyone is so nice and polite, and it's really cool.
Are you starting from the beginning?
I've started the first season of Boys and Girls in the City.
So because you don't have in America, the only two you really have access to is Boys and Girls in the City and Aloha State, which is the newest season, the two most recent seasons. You are correct that it is incredibly sweet, and it's great because it's just everyone being nice and polite and adorable, and most everyone comes to the house kind of to find love.
Yeah,
like they almost all talk about that. That's a big selling point of like who's going to get together. You probably haven't gotten to Natchan yet. Natsuki. She's a fucking mess. So I love that, like, and it's hard because I won't say anything that happens, but that show is so nice and so sweet, and then Natchan shows up, and there is it's not anything on the level of American reality TV whatsoever. But shit gets so uncomfortable. And so much drama happens because Natchan is just a shitty mess of a person.
Yikes. Oh, well, that's exciting to see what happens with that.
So look forward to that, and look forward to hating Natchan because she's the fucking worst.
Yeah.
But really, pretty much everyone else is, like, really good.
Yeah, Makoto, the baseball player, is so cute.
Oh, Makoto's okay. I can't. You'll get to Hansan, who's the architect. Hansan's perfect. Hansan is the perfect man ever. When you get to, he is,
yeah.
And even everyone in the panel of hosts, they know it. They talk about it constantly. Yeah. When he leaves, everyone's like heartbroken that he leaves. Not just in the house, the panel is just like, oh, we miss Hansan.
Yeah, I also really like the tap dance instructor. Like,
oh yeah,
he's great. And I got to the episode where they were talking about like what their dreams and aspirations were. And I was like, oh, like this is where they're like going to go for it. That where they're going to kind of have like a tough conversation. And I imagine that in like the Japanese sensibility of things, like a question like that could be very like, I mean, not necessarily just in Japanese, but like just like in general, when there are people that are very driven and very, like, know what they want to do, and versus someone that's like, I'm taking it day by day, and I don't really have a plan, and all of that, and kind of that whole, when that whole conversation happens. And what I liked about that conversation is that it wasn't a conversation that was with ill intent. It was like, no, like, I want to know what your aspirations are because I want to support you. And
yeah, he was just kind of a dick
about it. Oh, yeah, he was kind of a dick about it. Like, that was... Yeah.
He just, like, was really adamant and kind of a dick.
Yeah.
God, there's so many... I'm so excited for you.
Yeah, I really love it. He's a tap dancer. I really love it. It's so good.
You might not love him now because at first he's a little bit standoffish, but Uchi...
No, I love Uchi.
Uchi's amazing. Uchi's great. Uchi and Minori are really, really fantastic. Mm-hmm. You will get to Armon, who is great because Armon is from Hawaii and he's Japanese-Iranian and he's fucking gorgeous.
That's not even fair.
He's gorgeous and, like, jacked. And he's just, like, okay. He's a surfer through and through, and he's so good. You'll get to Hansan, who's great. And then you can meet my wife, Misaki. Misaki, like, comes in, and she's working to be, like, an idol.
Mm-hmm.
She has, like, a small idol group that she, like, sings with. Mm-hmm. She also does, like, I think she does, like, gravure and stuff, too.
Yeah.
Like, bikini photo stuff. Mm-hmm. But... God, I'm just excited for you to meet all these good people.
I love it. It's so good. So if you have Netflix, give Terrace House a shot. I'm watching Boys and Girls in the City is the season that I'm watching, the first season of Boys and Girls in the City. So get into it. We can talk about
watch
it
Boys and Girls, then watch Aloha State if you are really into it. I still have to finish Aloha State. It just did not grab me the same way. It's not bad. It's just it has a different vibe to it that's not as charming to me.
Yeah,
that's all.
So with that, I think that concludes our news and anime section. So why don't we take a quick little breaky break, and then we'll finish the rest of the show. We'll answer some questions.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, yeah. And we are back, and it's time to answer your questions from social media. If you ever want to hit us up on social media and ask us questions, get our feedback about games, or just if you want to tell us some messy stories that's going on in your life or anything,
just get messy.
We want to hear about it. We want to answer those questions. We want to talk about what's going on with you. Hit us up. You can either hit us up on Twitter at The Magical Boys on Twitter, or you can email us at magicalboyspodcast@gmail.com. We're happy to answer any and all questions, comments, snide remarks that you have to make. And let's start things off. So the first question is from Twitter, and it is from a dear friend of ours, a friend of ours in real life and of the show, Prince Zexu, aka, well, in real life, his name is Nigel. And Nigel asks, why is Just Dance Lady Gaga's best song? And first of all, I want to say that you're wrong, because it's not the best song. First of all, you're wrong. You're incorrect. It is not the best song. How can Just Dance be Lady Gaga's best song when Videophone with Beyonce exists? How can Just Dance be Lady Gaga's best song when Love Game exists? How can Just Dance be Lady Gaga's best song when Judas exists? So, no.
So I'm a little bit out of this conversation because I don't remember Just Dance at all.
Mm-hmm.
As far as Gaga's music goes, but yes, is it Telephone with Beyonce?
Yeah.
Yes, Telephone is amazing. Also has Beyonce, so I don't know how that could.
Telephone and Videophone both have Beyonce both in them.
And then I don't like. I still love Poker Face personally.
Yeah, and Poker Face is a better song than Just Dance.
Also, Kid, I think it's Kid Cudi who sampled Poker Face, and it's fucking dope. Mm-hmm. Like, he used it as a rap beat, and it's real good. Also, I think Kanye guests on that track, too. Yeah, Kid Cudi, Make or Say, with Kanye West and Common on it.
I'm going to have to give that a little listen after the show.
Yeah, it's really, really good. So, Nigel, I love you and you're precious.
But you're wrong.
I'm wrong. Yeah, you're wrong. And I haven't even heard of the song, so...
Yeah, like, you're wrong. So, like, when the show is over and if you go to, like, YouTube and go listen to that song, you're going to listen to it and be like, oh, I know that song. But, yeah, you're going to... Because it was a song that they played everywhere. Don't make that face.
No, I'm sure I've heard it. Also, Nigel, now you're outed for liking...
You're wrong. You're just wrong. You're just...
You did it to yourself.
You really did it to yourself. You're wrong. You're just wrong. I mean, you can think that all you want to, that Just Dance is her best song. That's fine. That is your life. That is your truth. You can live that truth. Just know that it's incorrect.
Mm-hmm. That happens sometimes. And, so there are things in life that are right and wrong.
And that's one of them. So the next question comes from Twitter, and it's from K-Throne. He actually gave us three questions, so this is...
What a dope name, yeah. K-Throne.
So K-Throne says, the first question is, how do you feel about hyperviolent anime, example being Devilman or Parasite? Do you get the same feeling when you watch anime with lots of, let's say, female nudity?
Let's say. Female nudity.
Okay, it's all about, for me, like, who the intended audience is of the show. Like, something like Devilman and Parasite are geared towards older audiences. And same with something like Junie Tyson is geared towards, like, an older audience.
Oh, Junie Tyson's, like, trash in the best way of being older audience geared and... just ridiculous.
Yeah, so stuff like that, it's like, okay, well, like, this is not geared towards, like, the shonen Shonen Jump demographic of people, so, like, we're talking about kids, teenage boys, things like that. Like, even though there is, like, violence and stuff in Naruto and film and all that stuff, there is that stuff that's there, but stuff like Devilman and Parasite and Attack on Titan, even, like, that stuff isn't geared towards, like, a younger audience, so it's just about understanding who the target demographic is, I think, for me. That's not to say that just because it's geared toward an older audience that there isn't stuff in that content that's problematic or that's, like that makes me feel a certain kind of way. So I just kind of look at that in terms of, like, what to expect in terms of the content that I'm watching. So stuff like that doesn't bother me so much, and I've been kind of like, I don't know if I want to watch Parasite or not, but I've heard it's really good, and I'm like, ooh, it looks so bloody, and so it's hard. Like, some things I can handle, like, I grew up watching stuff like Ninja Scroll, so it's...
Ninja Scroll's fucked
Up. So, like, I'm sure that I'd be just fine, like, watching something like that, but I am kind of a little bit of a baby. Like, I think I'm more of a baby when it comes to, like, live-action stuff, so, like... Game of Thrones at times is hard for me to get through because I'm like, oh god, this is so violent. But when it's like a drawing of a person getting their head chopped off, like, I'm less, like, weird about it because I'm like, oh, it's a drawing. But, like, even though it's fake when it's a live action show, I'm like, that's, like, a real person, and they, like, and that, even though that real person is actually getting their head cut off, but it's like, this is very, like, close to what reality is. So for me, it just kind of depends. I'm always more or less weirded out, like, with, like, super fan servicey stuff when it's stuff that's, like, clearly, like, geared towards shonen audiences. So as much as I love Food Wars, I'm watching the episodes and I'm like, ugh. God. But, like, I also... And it's... For me, it's, like, a case-by-case thing because the creator or artist of Food Wars was originally a hentai artist, so a lot of that is very much injected into their work. And with things like Food Wars, I'm kind of like, oh, this is, like, weird, but, like, I'm like, less weirded out by it in Food Wars because I with knowing the reference of the artist, but it still doesn't change.
There's context.
Yeah, there's a certain level of context behind it, but it's still weird.
Yeah, no, I feel that. Like, I mean... So, like, I love gory, fucked up shit. Like, that is my jam. That's why, like, Suda51, I love Suda as a developer. Yeah. I think Suda is problematic as fuck. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of shit in No More Heroes that isn't great in all of the Suda games that is problematic and fucked up. But he has a sense of style that's crazy interesting. He is like, he has a vision as an artist, and it's usually really gory and also really fucky.
Yeah.
And I love that about a lot of his stuff. For me, it is... For me, it's about not using the intent. I think that, and I don't know if everyone feels this way, but for me at least, I feel like I can tell pretty easily if something is made a certain way or is gory to be like grim, dark, and edgelordy versus gory because it's just trying to be as ridiculous as possible. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, I really enjoyed like what I watched of Genie Taizen, but Genie Taizen definitely gives me that sort of like grimdark edgelord feel where it takes itself like really seriously.
Yes.
Or like Gantz is that way to me, where Gantz is very sort of grimdark edgelordy to me. Or the new series that the Gantz guy did that just had a series last season that was like heavily CG. I'm blanking on the name of it.
Was it the like, Netflix one?
Yeah, oh, maybe. I think so. It started it's like about the old man who gets like destroyed and they rebuild, like the aliens rebuild his body, and it's like he's like super strong and like he's like a robot body basically. There's also a boy that it happens to, like they both get blown up by this like alien ship crashing into them.
Yeah,
basically
I don't know that one.
I can't remember the name of it, but that was last season, and I think it gets more interesting as it goes, but early on it feels like one of the characters, the boy who has this new power, he just like goes into a random family's house and just like slowly murks everybody in the house.
Yeah.
And it's like really, really gratuitous, and it's like very predatory feeling in a way. And that shit I'm not super into because it feels just kind of grimdark in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. Devilman is like so ridiculous because it's going to guy and it's from like in the 70s.
Yeah.
And there's also like a lot of heart to Devilman, to the story that's being told in it. Same thing with Parasite. Parasite is really gory, but Parasite's also like really interesting and balances an interesting sense of humor. Mm-hmm. And also a really cool concept. I think, I'm a huge JoJo's Bizarre Adventure fan, and JoJo's so gory.
Yeah.
Like JoJo's Bizarre Adventure is, I feel like people forget because it's so like fabulous and ridiculous, that show's really fucking gory. Yeah. But Araki, he's all about being extra. Like, he's the most extra mangaka, probably. And so I love it. I love the way he does gore because it's stylish and it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And he employs it as part of a style as opposed to just, like, to shock you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what it is. I don't love gore or sex and things when it's there to shock you. I love it when it's there unabashedly. And that's what Devilman is, very much that way. And I'm with you with the fan service thing. I think like I would much rather my anime just be like, yo, here's some titties, here's some dick, like here's some fucky shit, as opposed to like trying to be this like really coy, like panty shot fan service.
I hate it.
I just think it's uncomfortable, and I think what makes it more uncomfortable is the fact that, like, 90% of it in anime is, like, really young girls all the time. And not just... people have different feelings about it. When it comes to, like... People will get bent out of shape about it with, like, high school characters. I'm a little bit less, like, grossed out by that just because it's, like... High school kids are partially, like... They are becoming adults, and they are sexually active themselves. Yeah. I think it's weird for a series to take a male gaze and look on that, but I don't think it's necessarily fucked up or crazy to have that sexuality shown, because it is a thing that happens.
That makes sense, and I think that's therein lies the difference. That's where the difference is there.
Whereas so much anime, it's girls that are younger than that, or they purposely infantilize, or they'll be like, oh, she's like a college girl, or she's like in high school, but they make them look like they're 13. Mm-hmm. And that's really uncomfortable to me. because that to me starts getting into like Japan's weird problems with like pedophilia and everything else, that are just like the part of anime I really don't want to have to deal with ever.
Yeah.
And I never watch a show and go like, ah, this was necessary. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I don't, it's all about context with that shit for me. It's all about context and intent.
Yeah. And on a much lighter question after that, what's your favorite pizza? This is coming from
panties.
Pedro.
What's up? Favorite pizza. Panties. Done. Give me them fucking Shima pan on my pizza. No, my favorite pizza. What's my favorite pizza? I actually really like pepperoni and black olive. Also garlic. I like garlic on pizza.
I like
real hardcore.
I like garlic. I like when the breading, the crust has like a garlic, like a glaze situation.
I like when the pizza is just a garlic, a clove.
Is it just a whole clove of garlic?
Yeah, don't make out with me because I've probably had some garlic. Like, I eat a lot of garlic. I love it.
Yeah, is that it for your favorite pizza?
Yeah, that's my answer. It's very simple.
For me, I love a Hawaiian pizza. I am team pineapple on pizza. Yeah, I am team pineapple on pizza. You've heard it here first. I like a sweet and savory moment. Other than that, like if I don't have that, I really love like a barbecue chicken pizza or just like a meat lover's pizza. Give me all that meat.
I think barbecue chicken might be one of my least favorite just because the barbecue sauce is always so sweet.
Yeah, like sometimes it's like
if it
way
wasn't so
too
sweet, I'd like it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just make it less sweet.
It's like, why is it so decadent? Why is this pizza so decadent? And not in like
it's too much.
And not in like the Chicago deep dish style pizza way. Just like, no, this is like sweet.
Deep in the paint on that pizza.
So this is gonna be a quick question for me. So what webcomics do you read? I don't read any. I haven't read a webcomic in a really long time, and I feel bad because there are some really good ones. Well, wait, I take that back. So there are two, and the two of them that I do read, I don't read them regularly, but I read them like in chunks. Both of them are Magical Girl comics. One is Agents of the Realm. It's by Mildred Lewis. She's amazing. And it's like magical girls that are all in college, and they are all women of color, which is awesome. So that's like that's
rad.
And like Mildred's art is out of control amazing. And the other one that I like, it's by Mary Cagle, and it is called, I can't remember the name off the top of my head, but I'm about to go to her Twitter page and find out. Mary Cagle, her other comic that she does, it's a magical girl comic that I really like. It's really cute. It is, drum roll please. Crap, what is the name of that comic? I can't think of it. Yeah, Sleepless Domain. Yeah, Sleepless Domain is another one. Like, her art's just really good. Her art reminds me a lot of, like, classic Capcom in terms of proportions. But it's, really... It's, like, really cute. And it's just really well... It's really well drawn. Like, she draws elemental, like, magic. Like water. The way that she draws water. Because one of the magical girls is a water element-based girl. And it's beautiful. Like, her stuff is really, really fun. So I look at her work a lot just to study it. And then I also read it because it's really good. So, yeah. Those are the two webcomics that I read. What about you, Ruben?
I don't think I read any webcomics anymore. Yeah. There's, like, the occasional manhwa I'll read, which is, I guess you could sort of say it's, like, a webcomic. Because, like, that's a... Korean and Japan, they do have a lot of things that start as webcomics before they cross over to, like, manga. So, like, sometimes, like, online stuff like that. But I used to read a lot of webcomics. I used to read Megatokyo.
So did I.
I was, like, on the Megatokyo forums.
Same.
And, like, my member number on those forums is, like, 400-something.
Oh, God.
Like,
oh, man. That was a time.
My number is so... What if we knew each other, DJ?
It's possible.
What if we knew each other on the forums?
It's possible.
I posted a lot. I was very active. I was in the IRC chat all the time.
Ooh. I wasn't in IRC chat, but I was super active on those forums.
Yeah, I used to go into IRC chat and talk to fucking Singe and Furyk K. and Eric Adono, and just like fucking all the mods. It was bad. Anyway, that community was a great like anime. Here's an embarrassing story.
Yes.
If you were on the forums, you might remember when they would have like catboy adoption threads.
Yes.
Where it would be like, all right, who's like a free agent catboy who wants to be adopted? And so girls on the forums would adopt boys as their catboys, and then they would put them in their signatures. And so you would have girls that would be like, my catboys, and it would be like other members. And then in your signature, you'd be like, oh, it was Erica's catboy. Dog, I had such a long distance crush on Erica. She was this like cute Asian girl in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And I had like the like stupidest internet crush on her for a long time. And like, who knows where she is or who she is now? Who knows? So it's so weird. It's so weird being a teenager on the internet and being a weeaboo.
What a weird, and I think specifically like back then was a weird time to be a teenager on the internet.
It was weird because it was still like not quite mainstream, and it was still like 56K internet. So you're like, you were dedicated because it took a long time to load comic. Yeah. Also, even like, so like, I think her name was just Erica, but because I was really into Rurouni Kenshin at the time, I was always like the like really happy. I was very different when I was a teenager before like the world like kind of like trampled me down some. I was positive and happy to a fault. You could never like, I was never like, I never really appeared sad to anyone. Mm-hmm. I was everyone's biggest cheerleader. Like, I never threw any sort of shade. I was always just like positive about everything and everyone. And so like, I had the reputation of just being like this like sweet cheerleader boy. Kenshin, who's the female lead in Kenshin?
I'm trying to remember. I forgot her name. I'm the worst.
Karu.
Yeah.
So Kenshin always would call Karu Dono as like honorific. And so
you did not call her Erica Dono.
Oh,
did you?
Oh my god, yes. Yes. I mean, I was a weeb, and I was just like, I'm gonna be very. It was the weeboo version of Milady.
Oh, like, it's Rumen. Oh, that's amazing. I love that.
Yeah, lots of late nights on IRC chat talking to Erica Dono and Fury K and Singe and. Oh, it's a bad comic. Anyway,
yeah. Ooh, man, that's.
And when I was young, I had no idea. I was like, "Whoa, this is so cool. It's like an American."
Yeah,
anime.
It was cool. It's American manga. God,
I might still have. I don't think I do. I might still have like my hard copy Mega Tokyo Comics signed by Fred, because he used to go to AWA. So I met him and Seraphin, and oh god, it's just weird to me that I remember a lot of this stuff. Anyway, I used to read Penny Arcade before I realized it was trash written by bullies.
Yeah, before we realized that it's garbage.
But I think we all did. Like, I think we all read stuff. And, like, you know, I think there's probably genuine moments where those comics were actually funny.
Mm-hmm.
But fuck me if Mike Rahulik just hasn't been a huge shithead about a million things in the past, like, 5 years. I think that's why I don't read webcomics anymore. I know there's good stuff out mm-hmm. there. I know what's his name has Jake Wyatt.
Yeah,
Jake Wyatt's Necropolis mm-hmm. is fucking beautiful in a good webcomic. I need to get myself in the habit of reading good long narrative webcomics mm-hmm. as if I was just reading a graphic novel. But I've never gotten to that habit. It's always been stuff that's like funny or kind of like more like a four coma type style. Mm-hmm. I used to read Boxer Hockey. Yeah. Which is Tyson's webcomic for the longest mm-hmm. time. And obviously his Sonic comics. Now I don't read anything now.
Yeah.
I don't read ever.
I don't read. I don't know how to read.
Yeah, I don't read. I don't know. I forgot how. I just know how. I read subtitles. And
yeah,
that's it.
I read a lot of like, I want to say like actual comics. But like, I don't read many webcomics anymore. I read a lot of print comics is what I should say. Mm. Just because I get a ton of comics from my publisher, and since I'm now like knee deep working in comics, I want to like read what everybody else is working on and what they're doing and seeing what's going on in the world of American comics. And so I've been doing a lot of that. But thank you for your questions.
I read all that manga.
K-Throne.
And then finally, let's get to these questions from Hamish before we get out of here. Or Hamish.
Hamish comes to us. I think Hamish or Hamish. Please tell me how to pronounce your name. I'm so sorry.
Oh my God. So this is actually this. You don't have to, but if you want to write in and you want to give us like phonetically how to say your name, so we don't fuck
we follow
up,
each other on Twitter. I'm gonna ask that. Him because I'm like, girl.
Yeah, I won't. I won't be like, are you trying to tell me how to pronounce your name? No, please. I'm an
idiot.
Yeah,
like, we're dumb. We are dumb.
Spell it
we
out.
Are garbage. Yes. So please help us.
IQ, garbage. Anyway.
So the first question from him, he has three questions as well. The first question is, it's a good one. Nintendo Switch had a great year, but not a whole lot confirmed on the horizon. What are your big hopes for year two? So technically, we're still in year one of Switch because that's March, but but that's neither here nor there. So what I appreciate about Nintendo and what they do with their Nintendo Directs is that they typically only show stuff that's anywhere between 2 months away to at most 18 months away. So
yeah, 6 months usually it's not much longer than that.
Right.
Yeah.
So for the most part, they only really do directs for things that are about to come out. And that's what I also really like about them is because these like multi-year hype trains for games are really fucking annoying. So, you know, it was 2.5 years ago almost at this point to where they announced the Final Fantasy VII remake. Has it already been almost 2 years? Wasn't that E3 2016?
Yes, I think it has. Yes.
So, yeah. So, like, there are things that Sony and Microsoft always announce that, like, aren't out for the next three plus years. So, what I always like about Nintendo is that they always focus on things that are very, like, on the horizon that are about to come out. So, I imagine there are lots of rumors circulating that there's going to be a Direct this month. I wouldn't be surprised if there was a Nintendo Direct this month. If it's not this month, it's definitely going to be February. And I would be I would not necessarily not be surprised, but I would be expecting to hear them mention something about Smash Brothers happening. They'll obviously talk about Bayonetta 1 and 2 again, and maybe show us something from Bayonetta 3. Which is very exciting because, God, she's queen. Hopefully something from Fire Emblem and maybe a teaser for Pokemon. It still might be too early since Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon just came out back in November. So it might be too early for them to talk about the Switch Pokemon title because that is where the Pokemon series is headed to next. I think Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon is probably the last one on the 3DS system. So we will see. So definitely Smash Brothers, Bayonetta, Pokemon. Maybe they will tell us something about Virtual Console, which I think the system at this point needs. Hopefully, better, more quality of life stuff for the system itself. Hopefully, actual system level support for microphones and group chats and stuff like that. Definite kind of I'm hoping for more quality of life things, but I know that games are on the horizon and it's really difficult because they've honestly surprised me this year with Switch, so it's hard for me to predict, but I at least expect to hear something about Smash Brothers for sure.
I don't give a fuck about anything else. Prime 4.
Yes, that's the other thing.
I don't think it's gonna happen. I think it's way too early. I think like, we haven't heard anything about that besides a fucking logo teaser. I will be blown away if that game is this year.
Yeah.
I would say it's going to be 2019. Mm-hmm. But Nintendo's not bad about sitting on top of stuff until, like you said, did we know about Odyssey more than 6 months out?
No, we knew there was a Mario game coming, but, like, we didn't know what it was. So until that direct where they revealed Odyssey, and at that point, it was what? Summer?
But they did show Odyssey gameplay in that direct.
Yeah, so right? the initial sizzle reel for the system itself when they did the Nintendo Switch reveal before it launched, they did show a Toast Arena in it, so we knew like, oh well, obviously a Mario game is happening. So we didn't get, so we knew that from the sizzle reel trailer from when the Switch was first revealed. So that there was that, but then they officially were like, Mario Odyssey, this is the next Mario installment game is coming. And that was what, like, not very long after the system came out. I think it was the summer. Oh God, I don't remember. But anyway, yeah, they're pretty good about not talking about games unless they're pretty much almost done. So I'm hoping that they stick to that and do that, because that is good for me.
Well, what I say stands. Like, I'm other stuff I'm no I'll get excited about and I can be happy about, and I want to see Virtual Console this year, but I don't, if it's not Metroid Prime 4, I don't give Reggie, listen. I love that I talk to Reggie directly on this show so often. Reggie, I love you. Make Metroid Prime 4 happen, though.
Yeah.
Just make it. Bill, talk to Reggie for me. Sit Reggie down.
just have a nice little conversation over coffee, tea, whatever it is that you like to drink, and let's make that happen. Come on, guys.
I feel like Reggie drinks his coffee black.
Probably. Also, a full-on Animal Crossing game. Since we didn't get one on the Wii U, I would love a full Animal Crossing game on Switch. I think it's a perfect platform for it. Put it on there. Just give me...
You know, okay.
Give me that.
So here's the thing, because I had an idea for a mobile game a long time ago. And I actually think if they wanted to, I don't think they would do this, but they could do a Metroid game this way. I think that you could make a sort of Metroid Endless Runner that is also a shooter, if that makes any sense. Like, I think that could be interesting, because I had thought about a similar idea where basically you had, like, different shot types that you had to use for different color, like, barriers, and it was an Endless Runner that way. But you could make an Endless Runner Metroid game that's just constant movement, jump and shoot. And I think that could be very cool if they did it right. Anyway, that's a weird segue. Reggie, Metroid Prime 4, Reggie. You give me that Metroid Prime 4 this year.
Yeah, I would love to see Reggie. Something from Metroid this year. Like at least, like, show us gameplay or something.
Okay, here's what it is, Reggie. Either I get it this year, just because I want it now, or you hold on to it for 2020, because it's going to be another election, and I'm going to be losing my fucking mind, and I'm going to need something to keep my mind off of this country electing Trump for another 4 years.
Don't even speak that into existence. Good God.
I know. So, Reggie, you either give it to me now, or you wait for 2020 when I need it. One of those two.
I hope you heard that, Reggie. I know that you're listening to the show right now.
I know
now.
You run Nintendo, Reggie. Don't you play like you don't run Nintendo?
Don't sit here and pretend like you don't listen to Magical Boys. I mean, you don't have to talk about it on Twitter, and you don't have to talk about it on Twitter, Bill. It's fine. I know that you're listening. I know that you're listening because...
Hamish, are you Reggie?
Obviously you listened to us when we talked about how we wanted Bayonetta 1 and 2 to get ported to the Switch, and you were like...
We did call that
and
shit.
We called it, and y'all were like, you know what? DJ Ruben, those are some smart cookies. They know what they're talking about. They know... The gays, the queers are where we need to be talking to. Those are the voices in the streets that need to tell us on our product line what we need to be putting out on this Nintendo Switch.
Nintendo, I'm just saying, you got a queer liaison right here. We're on top of Nintendo stuff. We fucky as hell.
We are diversity hires right here.
Right here. Just do it.
You know how game has a diversity problem? Us. We could fix that for you. We are the solution.
God, I feel like if we had a baby, it'd look like Reggie.
Probably. Probably. I don't know, man. But, you know, us, we are taste makers in this bitch.
What if Reggie's our baby?
What if he is our baby?
What if Reggie's our baby from the future and he came back and he is trying to fulfill our Nintendo desire slowly?
Don't you fucking hit me with that Sailor Bayonetta. Moon R storyline bullshit.
I know it's what it is.
I see.
He knew
you.
He wanted Bayonetta. He came back in time and he made it.
I see what you're doing.
He made
right
it happen.
Now. I really see what you're doing right now.
All right. DJ, we have to right now because we have to shoot for the stars.
You can't see this. You can't see this right now, but we are like mind melding. We like have our fingers on our temples and we are like mind melding.
Fingers to the temples. Yeah. This Nintendo event that's about to happen, this Nintendo Direct, DJ, what are they going to announce?
They are going to show us Smash Brothers. They're going to show us Bayonetta 3. We're going to see perhaps maybe a Mario Party. That's not bad. And maybe, just maybe, we might see an Animal Crossing game. Or we might even see Pokemon Switch or a Pokemon game. I don't know, man. Something. Just make more games for me to play.
So as I was listening to you and holding my fingers to my temple, okay, they've already announced Kirby for Switch.
Yes, that is happening. And a Yoshi game, I think.
Okay, because I was about to say Kirby for the Switch.
That's happening.
But they've already mentioned that. So I think we will see
some of that. We're going to see that Kirby game. For sure.
I'm going to say, we're going to see that Kirby game. We're going to see that Bayonetta. I think we might see Smash. I think Mario Party is a good call. I think there's going to be like something anime ass in there that we're not expecting.
Give me that shit. Gimme.
I think we're missing some anime ass, not Nintendo first party style necessarily, but like a little bit more Xenoblade Chronicles
anime
sort
bullshit.
Of
show me Shin Megami Tensei 5. Show me some of that. I want to see.
That's it. We're gonna get That's the prediction I'm gonna sit on. We're gonna get something from Persona or Shin Megami. Announce for Switch.
Now you listen to me. If y'all don't fucking port Tokyo Mirage Sessions Sharp FE to the fucking Switch, we really about to have a problem.
DJ, that's it. I'm telling
we
you. This direct, they're going
gonna
to announce.
Have a problem.
There will be an Atlas announcement at it. That is the bet I'm coming down on hard. It's gonna be that.
If it's not, I'm gonna fly to Seattle, and I'm gonna get in a rental car, and I'm gonna come to Nintendo of America. I'm gonna go. I'm gonna be there, and I'm gonna be like, "Hey, I watched that direct just now." No,
no, TJ, you're gonna be like, "Oh, so nice to meet you, sir. Oh my god.
Oh my god. Yeah, and just like freak out. I'll be like, me and Bill Trinan knows me by name. I'm gonna be like, Bill, let me in this bitch. I gotta have a conversation with you.
Bill,
I
Billy?
Gotta.
Can I call you Billy?
Trin, we gotta talk, dude. We need me. You already need to just have a meeting. Lock up a boardroom. Lock it up. Let's set it up. Make it happen. We need to talk about what's going to happen. I'm gonna help you. Help me. Help everybody else.
I'm going to say, you heard it here. I think all of our predictions are pretty good.
Really smart.
I am going to make that fucking long shot call. It's going to be something from Atlas will be shown.
Yeah.
Something from Atlas. That will be Persona or Shin Megami related. One of those two.
If they port,
next
I mean,
question.
I don't think it'll happen, but if they port Persona 5 to Switch, I will play it again on that. Okay, so Hamish has two more questions and then we can go home. Well, we're already home, but then we can go to bed. Were you into any trading card games growing up?
I used to play a lot of the Pokemon
TCG.
And then once I stopped playing it, I would trade a lot of my cards for, like, Japanese holographic foils, which I collected for a while. Because I like the art on them better. I played that for a minute. I played Magic for a while. But then Magic is a very expensive trading card game. Any of them are.
Yeah.
But Magic is a very expensive hobby. If you want to be competitive, Magic is very expensive.
I played Yu-Gi-Oh! For a while, too.
Dude, Yu-Gi-Oh! Is, when I go into a local trading card shop, it's like, Magic is the number one thing people are playing. Yu-Gi-Oh! Is the
number
two.
It's hella fun, and when I played the trading card game, and then I watched that trifling-ass show, I was like, uh-uh, Yu-Gi is out here cheating, taking like 5 turns in 1 turn. No. The card game don't work like that.
Just because you got like an ancient pharaoh like fucking you inside your body doesn't mean you can cheat.
Whenever he says, "Oh, it's I'm gonna believe in the heart of the cards," oh, time to cheat. Time to cheat. That's exactly what
cheating,
it is.
Cheating ass Yugi.
Cheating ass, trifling ass Yugi Moto. I don't trust him with the stupid.
Give me some of that
dumb hair.
That pure Joey Wheeler. Give me that. Joey too stupid to cheat.
Joey's too dumb to cheat. And then Maximilian Pegasus. Extra ass Yugi boy.
Fucking give me that Kaiba.
Seto Kaiba, that fucking angry boy. Oh man. We need to do a Yu-Gi-Oh episode.
I'm going to have to watch some Yu-Gi-Oh! Because I am like, I read the manga for a minute. And,
it's not,
didn't watch a lot of the anime. Because the manga's
super fucked up.
Yu-Gi-Oh! Kills
that original first season of the anime is not at all about the trading card game. It's about the manga.
No, because the entire like manga thing is like he tricks people into playing death games where if they lose,
you die.
They die. And he cheats so that he guarantees that they lose so that they die.
And a fantastic question.
Last question.
End.
DJ, okay.
What?
I won't say who I am. I want you to tell me who you think I am, and I'll tell you who I think you are.
Okay.
Because I'm very bad at like ascribing something to myself.
So, the last question of this week's episode of Magical Boys is, which Sailor Scout, or if you're like me, Sailor Senshi, are you? Okay, so we're going to tell each other who we think that we are.
Yeah, because I always feel like it's like weird, not weird, but like unfair to say like who you are. Like you can have an idea of who you are, but I feel like other people, especially people that are close to you, see you for who you are almost more than you do for you. You know what I mean?
Oh god, I now wonder what people think about me. They're like, oh god, DJ is so fucking annoying and terrible.
Like I know exactly who you are in my Sailor Scout. You're Venus.
Yes. I love her so
like,
much.
You're hyper supportive, you're happy go lucky, you're extra as hell, you want to be the center of attention. Like, but you're also like incredibly competent and good at what you do. So that's Venus. Yeah. Venus is like if Sailor Moon was if Usagi was better in every way, that's Venus. But that's why Usagi's so great, because you can relate to Usagi because she's so flawed.
I do love Usagi. But yeah, no, like when I was a kid, I was like, oh, I'm Sailor Moon because I'm the main character. But like it's like when in reality, I'm like, no, I'm fucking Sailor Venus. And I mean, if I'm going to be anyone, I'm glad to be her. The bitch that was holding it down.
Mm-hmm. The first bitch.
The realest one. oh, man. I'm trying to think. For you,
Do you have it narrowed down to some, or is it still open to everyone?
It's between... I think it's between two. It's to me, you feel like a combination of two of them to me. You feel like a combination of like Sailor Mercury and Sailor Jupiter to me.
I knew it. I fucking knew it.
Because
okay,
like
cool.
you're
exactly
like, super
who I would
smart
say.
And sweet and like you know a lot of stuff about things and like and like you're like real soft and gooey on the in the middle. Even though, like, you know, like, you're, like, a real soft boy. And, and not in the Nick Robinson piece of shit way. But it's, like, you're, like, you're, like, you know, you're, like, a really sweet person. You're very smart. And, like, you're very, like, oh, God. How do I describe all of the things that I think of you?
No, too nice. I was, like, DJ likes to be the center of attention. He's very good at things.
No, I think you're very smart. Like you had that like Sailor Mercury has her little DS and is like, I'm calculating all the shit, and like you're like really smart at like computer stuff and everything, and you know, and I think you're like really strong willed like Sailor Jupiter is. It's like you're really like, I'm gonna fuck somebody up, but I'm also like really sweet.
And I feel like I am the type to be like, I will mom people a little bit, where I'm just like, okay, shit's bad right now, and we are gonna shut up for one second and figure out how to take care of this. Instead of just running our heads off and going crazy, okay? Like, let's all figure this out. Which makes sense, because again, as I said before, I'm very into myself, and Jupiter and Mercury are my two favorites, because I just love them. They're
and
so good.
What's funny is that... what's funny about what you said about me being Sailor Venus is because there's an episode in season three, where basically... they're trying to find who has the pure heart crystal. So they're like shooting everybody up trying to find out who has the pure heart crystal. And all of the girls, like Usagi, Makoto, Rei and Ami have been like, you know, shot to find and see if they have a pure heart or not. And here's Mina that's like, what about me? Like, do they not think that I don't have a pure heart? Like, I'm the purest of all of you bitches. I'm the purest one. I'm giving blood. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I have a pure heart. I'm the purest bitch up in here. Why haven't they come to shoot me yet? And then it's so fucking funny. Like, that the 90s show is so fucking funny. So basically, they finally target her. And she's like, all right, we're going to see if you have a pure heart. And they shoot her. And then when they shoot her, like, the pure heart manifests into this really pretty crystal in front of their chest. And then you're still, like, alive? But, like, you know that thing they do in anime where they get rid of, like, the shine in your eye to kind of say that you're not, like, present or, like, you're, like, brainwashed or something? So it's that. But she has this, like, creepy little face, and she's like, oh, look at my pure heart. And she's like, look at it. Look at it. It's me. And then she, like, takes it and she runs away. It's so fucking funny, and it's one of my favorite episodes, and I'm like, that would be me. If that ain't me, I don't know what is.
That is some DJ shit.
If that isn't me, I don't know what is.
See, yes, and I think that's why when I think about, like, with me, like, with Mercury and Jupiter, like, I feel like Mercury is a freak. Like, you know Mercury is a freak. Like, I think she's that secret trashy Fujoshi girl. Like, all the other girls a little bit more, like, Usagi's like, oh, I'm a pile of trash and I know it, and I love playing video games. And Mercury's like, oh, I study it, but I guarantee you, like, she gets done studying, and she's like, all right, guys, great, fighting monsters, I'm going home. And then she gets in bed with some nasty-ass fic. Like, I'm like, that is for sure Mercury, for
sure. And that's also you.
And then Jupiter just makes people cookies. She's like, I'm gonna cook for you, which I also like doing, so. Them's mine. Well, I'm glad we have good tabs on each other.
We really do. What's up.
Thank you for those questions, everybody. They're all very
good.
Yes,
those were great. So please send us your questions to magicalboyspodcast@gmail.com or hit us up on Twitter @TheMagicalBoys and send us your questions, comments, snide remarks. We would love to hear them. And that's going to basically bring us to the end of our show. So where can they find you, Ruben?
You guys can get me @Roobots, R-O-O-B-O-T-S, on Twitter and Instagram and all sorts of other places. If you really want to deep dive into my shit, you can go to RubenMedina.com. It's where I have, like, my VO reel and links to other stuff that I work on. Or if you're curious about my comedy stuff, the guys I do a lot of my work with, Ed and Tom, we have a podcast called You're Welcome Hollywood, where we get a title from the audience or a genre, and we make up a movie on the spot in about 60 minutes. And it's really fucking ridiculous and stupid. It's where the word narsty was born from. So if you're curious about that, that's how it happened. So check that shit out and let me know what you think about it.
Yeah, and you can find your boy DJ at Oh Hey DJ on pretty much everything. That's Instagram, Twitter, the two platforms that really only matter to me, I guess, at this day and age. That's where you can find me. You can check out my portfolio site. It's djkirkland.com. You can see all my art shit and interviews that I've been in, the stuff that I did with Crunchyroll's up there too, which is super fun and goofy. Check that stuff out. And if you want to keep tabs up with me on everything Black Mage, just follow my Twitter account and showing you little sneak peeks of all the comic stuff that I'm working on. But other than that, I think that's it. And oh yes, and before I forget, please leave us reviews on Apple Podcasts and Google Play. The feedback is really great for us, and it feels really good to see the reviews coming in that we've gotten from you guys, and they've been great. So thank you so much. That means a lot to both Ruben and I, and that keeps us wanting to make the show for all of you, and it's, like, super fun to do this for us, so it's not like it's pulling teeth or anything. So it's great. It's more motivation for us to do stuff. So leave us a review. That's super important to us, and that's pretty much it. So
also, it's just past midnight, so it's your boy's birthday. I'm 32.
Happy birthday, BB. You're 32.
That's right. It's my PlayStation year, my 3DO year, my Sega Saturn year, 32-bit console generation.
Yes. Well, happy birthday.
All right.
my wonderful co-host, and...
I'm dying, everybody.
We all are.
But we all are, so whatever.
We all are.
Whatever.
But we love you. Keep being amazing. Stay magical, and we'll see you next time. Bye!
Bye!
Bye!